fully real outbreak integers with diameter less than 4.
Thank you. So I thank the organizers for the invitation. So let alpha be an algebraic integer with minimal polynomial p equal x to the d plus b1 to the x to the d minus 1 plus and so on plus bd with d greater than 2. And we write this product for I equal 1 to d of x minus alpha I. And we define the diameter of alpha, which is, as usual, the maximum for 1 less than I less than j, d of alpha I minus alpha j. So here we will be concerned only with alpha totally real. L we write alpha 1 less than alpha 2 less than alpha d. So the first thing to remark is if you take an interval AB with length B minus A greater than 4, there exist infinitely many alpha such that all alpha I belong to capital I. If you take I such that B minus A less than 4, there exists only a finite number of such alpha. So we will be mainly interested diameter of alpha less than 4. Since there is a property of the diameter, which is integer translation and reflection which equal to alpha, the diameter of alpha does not change if you translate or if you take the negative of alpha. So in this case, we can always choose alpha such that alpha 1, alpha d belong to the interval minus 2, 2.5. If you take epsilon positive, and if you look at diameter of alpha less than 4 minus epsilon, for all diameters, there is only a finite number of such diameter of alpha. It's easy to see because you can cover the interval H by a finite cover by a finite number of intervals of length four minus epsilon over two, and use the property which is written on the first blackboard. Okay, so now the question is, what are the alpha or diameter of alpha less than 4? If alpha 1 and alpha d belong to the interval minus 2, 2, then you can use the Kronecker's theorem. Which tell us that, in fact, alpha is of the type 2 cosine 2k pi over n, with k and n positive integers. So, this is well known, and we ask the question, what are the others? That is to say, what are the alpha I such that alpha d belong to minus 2.5. So there is no general answer to this question. So we try to make some computations. So there were computations by Robinson in 64 up to d equal 8. In fact, he was sure of his computation for d up to 6, but he gave a list for 7 and 8, and these lists were correct. Now we want to go to, up to d equal 13. 13 is an interesting degree because there is no cyclotomic, cyclotomic polynomial of degree 26. Which would give a cosine, a polynomial of cosine type. This one. So we don't know if for the degree 13 there is a diameter less than 4. Okay. So what kind of method we use. We use auxiliary functions of the following type, f of x equal x minus a log of absolute value of q of x, and we suppose that this is bigger than m on the first interval, I1, which is minus 2.1, with alpha d belong to 2.1, and the others, the last one, BA5, which is minus 1.6, 2.5. So first, we look at this one. The computation are the same for the others. So what is A? A is a real positive, and Q is a non-zero polynomial with integer coefficient. So we do the summation of this on the alpha I. Summation for I equal 1 to D of F of alpha I. Equal, here you get summation for I equal 1 to d of alpha I minus a log of the product for I equal 1 to d of q of alpha I, and this is bigger than dm, d times m. So what is this one? This one, this is a trace of alpha, which is equal to minus b1. What is this thing? This thing is the resultant of p, the minimal polynomial of alpha, and q. So if we suppose that P does not divide Q, this is a non-zero integer. So the logarithm of this is positive. And we get, in this situation, S1 is greater than Dn. This has been studied mainly by Smith when he was looking at the absolute trace, that is S1 over D, of totally positive algebraic integers. That's a sure problem, but I don't want to say more on this. So if we replace in F, if we replace in F X by plus or minus X to the K, you get lower and upper bounds for SK, which is the sum for I equal 1 to D of alpha I to the K. And then we use Newton's formula, SK plus B1, SK minus 1, plus and so on, plus BK minus 1, S1 plus K, BK. And we compute the BK by induction. So if you suppose that you know B1, BK minus 1, and so S1, SK minus 1, if you have bounds for SK, then you get bounds for BK. That's the technique. So the problem is how to find good auxiliary function. For the moment, let's the function as it is written there with x only. We rewrite this f of x equal x minus t over h log of absolute value of q of x greater than m, where h equals the degree of k of q and t is positive. If you take the exponential of this, you get the maximum of x belong to I of absolute value of q of x to the power t of h over h e to the minus x less than e to the minus m. So what is this kind of thing? There is a special thing which is called the transfinite diameter, which is defined as follows. So let K be a subset of C, take a compact set, it's better, subset of C, and we define the following thing, which is a transfinite diameter of K, which is the lim inf when h tends to infinity, the minimum for Q belonging to C of X, Q monic degree of Q equal H, and a maximum for X belonging to K of absolute value of Q over X to the power 1 over H. That's the ordinary transfinite diameter of K. So you see there is a formula which is similar to this, and we will define T Z phi of I1, which is the lim inf which h tends to infinity, the minimum for q belonging to z or x, degree of q equal to h, maximum for x belonging to I1, absolute value of q of x, to the power, for the moment, put t equal 1, 1 over h, e to the minus x. So, if you call phi of x equal to a minus x, a to the minus x, this is an integer transfinite diameter with a weight here, e to the x. So, you can apply some techniques to compute the q of x. In fact, we can write f in another form. If we use the irreducible factors of q, you can write f of x equal x minus sigma for j equal 1 to capital J of aj log of qj of x. And here the qj are irreducible. If the qj are given, then you can get the best auxiliary function f by a program which is semi-infinite linear program. This is a classical technique. This has been introduced into number theory by Smith, and it works very well. So the problem now is to find a good set of polynomials QJ. So the first method at the beginning was to take a heuristic method, which was the following. You choose polynomials QJ which have all their roots on the interval I1. In fact, the first method was used for totally positive algebraic integers, and the interval I was 0 infinity. But there is no problem because you have a weight here such that this is always a finite number. So this leads to good values for S1 over D. And there were some hope to solve by this method the Schur conjecture, which was the following. Is 2 the first limit point of S1 over D for the alpha which are totally positive? But in fact we know now that is impossible, because Serre has proved that with this method it was impossible to go over 1.898. So this is not a method to solve Schur's conjecture, but this is interesting to find good bounds for the SK. So what kind of bound can we obtain? It is clear that for I1, the interval I1, the bound, the ordinary bounds are S1 bigger than minus 25 and less than 27. But with the auxiliary function, we reduced this interval to minus 2 and 3. So I will show at the end the list of polynomials we use. So the first idea, if you want to use more than heuristic method, was to take Q of xi to the power t to the power 1 over h e to the minus xi less than as small as possible for a finite set of points xi belonging to I1. This, of course, are linear form. If you write this Q of xi e to the minus xi h, these are linear form in integer unknowns, and you can use the LLL algorithm. So you get some polynomial Q, and you use their irreducible factors as polynomial Qj. The problem is that in this case, you cannot go very far because the degree of Q being coming too large, then LLL is less effective. So that was the first idea by me. Now there is another method which has been given by Valérie Clément, which is to compute f of x by induction, special type of induction. So you start with some, you start with a auxiliary function which is good, and then you use a new factor, you use the old factor here, you use a new factor, and you apply the LLL algorithm to this new factor. So the degree is less, and you obtain good things. Okay, so we reach the degree 13, and we obtain four polynomials in 366 days plus 10 hours. To be precise. Okay, so I will show you the auxiliary function.
Coming on now.
Yeah. So, of course, you need different polynomials in the auxiliary function, different auxiliary function, if you get a lower bound, upper bound, and for S1 and SK. So there is a big set of auxiliary functions. Ah, yeah, okay. So that's the polynomials which were used for the auxiliary function. And you see there are some polynomials which have roots outside of I1, complex roots. And this gives the bound S1 bigger than minus 2, for g equals 30. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
So did you prove that there are no polynomials of degree 30?
No, we get four. There are only four polynomials, and we have them.
Right, but you didn't.
Ah, yes. They will be given in the paper when it will be published. They have nothing special. So our first goal was go to up to degree 15, but it's probably very difficult.
Are there other questions? Not, it remains to thank the speaker once more. We now have a lunch break, and we resume at 1:30.